a really important thing with e-commerce businesses and with any business. It's like the if you build it and they will come strategy does not work. You've got to have a plan for how you're going to get visibility for your product.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. This podcast episode is all about e-commerce. And the reason I wanted to cover this topic is because I think it is a hot topic. The big retailers are struggling. A lot of them are going broke in real actual stores, which opens up the question, why are they going broke? It's because people are buying online. Let's face it, the internet is here to stay. It's not just a fad. And who's making the money? It's people who set up online stores and sell things online. And so what I thought would be good is go and talk to someone who actually does this for a living and does it pretty well. And just so happens that one of my very best friends and co-host on our other podcast, ThinkActGet.com, Ezra Firestone, is an e-commerce specialist. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me. And it's so true. You know, 10% of retail sales are done online. Total retail sales, 10%. And that's growing each year, 15% year over year in US and Canada as we are crossing the chasm and as the technology adoption curve is becoming lower. So e-commerce, they say the internet is in its infancy. Well, I like to say, and I actually heard this on Terry Lynn's podcast, is e-commerce is a baby. Like, we're so young in e-commerce and now really is the time to be getting into e-commerce. It's not a played out market at all. It's actually a really, really good time to be thinking about retailing physical products online.
Right. So just to give us some context, tell us just a bit about the Ezra Firestone e-commerce empire. What makes you qualified to even talk about this on the show like superfastbusiness.com?
Well, I've been very successful with it and I've had my attention on it for a very long time. And there's different business models with e-commerce. There's drop shipping, there's wholesaling, there's manufacturing. And my preferred business model is the dropship business model. And I had a store that I just sold that was the number one retailer of a specific line of Halloween products in America. And we've done really well. And I've done a lot of testing, platform testing. I've had stores on ShopSite and Xcart and Yahoo and Magento and BigCommerce. And I'm actually just building on BigCommerce now. But I've tested platforms. I've tested different traffic sources. I've tested layouts. I've just really had a lot of attention on this for the past couple years. And I've done really, really well. And I'm happy to share what's worked for me with your group of people.
All right. Well, we are going to ask you what's worked. I think that's the whole point. We're going to get to the good bits. I'm going to say, listen, Ezra, if you only had 20 minutes or so to quickly educate someone about e-commerce, let's just make sure we've covered the what is e-commerce. That is a store that is online. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I'd describe it as the retail. You know, everything is e-commerce, right? Electronic commerce. But the way that the nomenclature, the parlance of our time, to use a quote from the Big Lebowski, e-commerce is commonly referred to as the retailing of physical products online. So a store that actually sells something that when someone buys it, it gets shipped to them in a box.
Okay. Now, why should we be interested in e-commerce?
Well, it's got a high barrier to entry. So smart guys like you and all the smart traffic and conversion specialists look at an e-commerce store and they think, oh, you know, I have to set up a relationship with a supplier and I have to, you know, people perceive it as having a high barrier to entry. So not a lot of people get into it, which makes it a lot better for the folks of us who are doing it. Most of the work is done up front. You pick your market, you build out your platform, you get everything set, and all that stuff happens up front. And then after that, all you have to worry about is generating traffic and doing conversion testing. So all your work's up front. And the other cool thing about e-commerce is you get first visit transactions. Between 80 and 95% of the transactions that happen across my e-commerce stores and my clients' e-commerce stores happen on the first day. And the other thing is you have a really high value per visit in an e-commerce store. It's not uncommon to see $1, $2, and $3 values per visitor. That means every visitor that comes to your site is worth a dollar. And the other beautiful thing about e-commerce, and you know, just to give you some context, an average blog might have a value per visit of 5 cents, you know, who's doing advertising as a revenue model. The other thing is that, and this requires testing, and we could talk about this. I've got some conversion best practices here, is conversion rates. I've got one of my stores right now that's converting at 5.5%. That means that 5.5 out of every 100 people who visit the site buy something. People are coming looking for whatever it is you have to offer already. You don't need to persuade them. You don't need to convince them. You just need a good picture and an add to cart button. So it's a lot easier to make sales on an e-commerce store.
And that's first time first-time transactions.
That's first-time. Well, 5% conversion rate across the store. 80 to 95% of the people who visit buy on the first day.
Nice. Okay. So how do we actually do it?
Well, the first thing that you need to do is pick a market. And, you know, a lot of people really, really struggle with this, but it's not very hard to pick a market. The best markets out there, in my opinion, are the niches of other niches. And what that means is, like, you have dog supplies and you have dog beds. Well, dog beds would be a subcategory of the greater dog supply niche. And if you look on Amazon and eBay, you can see they have all the big categories listed. And then you can go in there and you can look for the smaller categories within those categories. Another pretty sneaky way to find really good markets is to have a look at the different shopping cart platforms. We've got about 30 shopping cart platforms out there right now that are usable. You know, ShopSite, Magento, Yahoo, Volusion, Xcart, all these different platforms, whatever they are, 3D Cart, Zen Cart, they all have designers and developers. And these designers and developers like to feature their case studies on their website. So if you go and you look at the top designers for each platform, and all you have to do is Google the platform name, designer, or developer, and whoever's paying for advertising is doing well in that space, or they wouldn't be buying ads. And they will show you the websites that have had redesigns. Now, if someone can afford to have a redesign done by the top designer in their platform, well, they've probably got a pretty hot market. Their market's probably working out for them. So that's a really good way to do it. A good buddy of mine who's in a group with me, who it's another way to find markets, is hobbies. People who are interested in hobbies, they're passionate buyers. They're people who are into golf, people who are into model trains, people who are into yoga, whatever it is, people who are hobbyists are really passionate. And then the other good market idea, before I give you a resource, are weird and embarrassing markets, right? So stuff that people don't want to look someone in the eye while they're buying, like their pubic hair grooming kits or their toenail fungus cream or whatever it is, you know, the stuff that's a bit embarrassing to buy that you don't want to look someone in the face while you're purchasing is really good stuff to sell online. And there's a great, great, great resource out there for anyone who's interested in e-commerce. I absolutely recommend you pick this up. It's called the Top 500 Guide, and it's put out by a company called Internet Retailer. com, and it's the North American guide for e-commerce, and it tells you all the markets that are on the rise, all the markets that are on the decline. It tells you all the stores that are doing really well. It's just a great place to get ideas for e-commerce and find out what's going on in the e-commerce world.
Nice. Now, I watched your presentation at Traffic and Conversion Summit, and I took some notes, so I'm going to dig straight into the gold here. What's your favorite ticket price minimum?
Minimum ticket price $75, maximum ticket price $300. And here's why. Generally with a dropship e-commerce store, which is what most people are going to start with because it's the lowest barrier to entry to get into e-commerce, you're doing 20 to 30% margins. You really can't make money these days, in my experience, if you're not making at least $25 profit per order. And in order to make $25 profit per order, you got to have a $75 average order value. Now, that's not average cost of the product, because you could be selling a product that costs $50 that has accessories, right? So you definitely want to sell something that's over $75. And I find the sweet spot to be under $300, because I've got a buddy who sells trampolines and pool tables and a bunch of other stuff. And I actually have a store where I sell bar stools. And people who buy those higher end products, those tickets that are $500 and $600 and $700, call you. They want customer support. They're not just going to pull out their card and buy that. So when you stay under $300, you're still in that sort of space where people don't require as much support, and they'll just pull out their card and they'll buy it right on your site. So it's kind of a nice little range there that you want to look for as far as average order value.
Right. I have a friend who sells expensive, heavy things online. So there's two no-nos, and they have heavy phone support, but they're doing it on such a scale that they're in like the super category. And I guess if you want to take that end of the market, you have different complexities. And from memory, they weren't keen about drop shipping because they lose control of the ability to deliver things properly and to get the best freight management and to be able to control timing and quality. Is that where you integrate if you want to make a more mature, deeper e-commerce store?
Well, what happens is you start with drop shipping, because with drop shipping, you don't pay until you get paid. You only buy the product once someone's ordered it for you. But as you grow your drop ship business, what you do is you take your best sellers and you warehouse those, you manufacture those, you import those, so that you're as highly leveraged as you can be. Your risk is as highly leveraged as possible, meaning, yeah, you're taking risk, but you're only taking that risk of warehousing and purchasing that product upfront on the products that you know from experience that you're going to retail a whole bunch of.
Right. So you better explain what drop ship is.
So So dropship is where you go to, you have a line of products, right? Let's take the dog supplies line. And you've got all these brands and these manufacturers, rather. And it used to be that the manufacturers would only give their products to wholesalers who then supplied those products to stores and online stores. But nowadays, all these manufacturers are looking for more avenues to retail their products. And so they're willing to let you, they'll give you a disc that has all their product images on it and a CSV spreadsheet that has the prices that they're going to charge you. And so let's say they're going to charge you $50 for a dog bed. They give you the image, they give you the description for that dog bed, and they give you their price. You take that dog bed, you put it on your website, and you charge $100. And then you do the work. You're like Target. Target doesn't make its products. It just does the work to get the customer in there, and it sells other brands' products. So you do the work to get the customer to your store by doing traffic like pay-per-click or Facebook or SEO or however you generate traffic to your store. And when you make a sale, someone pays you $100. And then once you've been paid your $100, you go to the manufacturer and you say, hey, here's $50 and here's the address of this person. Please ship it to them. And so they ship it for you. So you don't handle inventory. You don't have to worry about stocking. You don't have to worry about anything but generating the sale.
Now, I've got a little SEO question here. How important would it be to modify those descriptions if you can?
It is absolutely 100% crucial to modify those product descriptions because everyone else on the internet has those same product descriptions.
That's what I was thinking.
If you want your pages to rank, you need unique content on there. It can't be the same content as everyone else. And, you know, we could do a whole podcast just on how to write product descriptions, but it's not really difficult to modify your product descriptions. One of the big things about e-commerce, what I call e-commerce 3.0, what's changing about e-commerce right now is the day and age of the store, of the faceless e-commerce store is dying. The e-commerce store that just puts up products and lists manufacturer descriptions is dying. What's working now is adding value to your market, writing your product descriptions, ordering your products that are selling best and shooting videos about them, figuring out, creating buyer's guides, like bundling products together that people want, like figuring out ways that you can serve your community and creating a face and a brand and owning the race course within your e-commerce store. So creating a weekly video that has content that's relevant to the community of people who buy your products at your store. It's really what's changing about e-commerce right now. And one of the cool things is most people who do drop shipping don't rewrite their product descriptions. So when you feed, what you do is you take your product, you take the manufacturer's product descriptions and you feed them out to all the comparison engines, Price Grabber and The Find and whatever else, and you keep the unique descriptions for your store.
No wonder they describe your presentation as a fire hose of content. I love this. Now, people who would normally speed this up on e-nouts or whatever, or two speed, they're probably just playing this at half speed. I love it. We're going to keep going with this. Now, Own the Race Course, you just gently drop that in there. You've been applying Own the Race Course to your e-commerce stores. Does it work?
Oh, it's working so well. It's the absolute most genius thing that we've done. Our skincare company, Boom by Cindy Joseph, we started a video blog and we are taking this video and we're obviously doing all the Own the Race Course strategies with it, transcribing it and uploading it and syndicating it and pinning it and all that good stuff. But what's really cool about it is we're building this community of people who are, it's fortifying us from channels. The thing that you're afraid of as an e-commerce store is if one of your channels goes away. So you lose your AdWords account or you lose your SEO rankings in a Panda or Penguin update or your Facebook ad account or page gets banned or your shopping or your Google shopping product listings are no longer free, which just happened in August of 2012. So what happens is these channels come and go, but if you build a brand and a community around your store, what happens with Boom right now is 50% of the traffic we get from that store is coming from people typing either our brand name right into the search engine or our URL right into the product, the URL bar at the top of the page. So we're building this brand for our company. And what that does is it just makes it so much, when we sell this company, we now have an asset that's going to get us a one or two higher multiple because we have a brand around it. We've got a community of people engaged with us who communicate with us on a weekly basis. And I think it is the absolute most important thing you can do for any business right now is build a community. And I think your Own the Race Course strategy is the best way to do it that I've seen.
It's great if you're sitting on stock as well. You want to make sure you've got that traffic machine.
Yes, exactly.
Now, tell us about the fragmented market test that you mentioned to look for opportunities.
Sure. So one of the things that I think, and this is a purely search engine optimization perspective, is that, you know, you want to be able to do SEO for your store, and it's not really hard to do. But if you take your top 20 keywords in your market and you Google them and it's the same 10 players every single time, that's a market that's not fragmented. It's got a really strong stock of players, the same people advertising on those keywords. You just want to make sure that there's space, that the market's fragmented, that there's more, that there's not the same 10 folks. And the cool thing is that most markets are. There's not, I've only run into three or four that are really just kind of taken, that are really sort of solid, that are going to be hard to get into in these niche e-commerce stores. So I think that the fragmented market test for me is, are there 10-pound gorillas in this niche who are competing for every single one of my keywords? And the answer to that question is usually absolutely not. And the other thing is, are the people in the market, if you're doing a dropship store, are they dropshipping? Well, if they're not dropshipping, they've got better margins than you, and you're not going to be able to compete with them in pay-per-click. So one of the ways to figure that out is to give them a call and say, hey, I'm considering ordering this product. Do you ship it out or do you ship it from the manufacturer? And the customer service person will often tell you where it's being shipped from, and you can find out if those people are dropshipping or not, or if they're stocking and manufacturing. So you kind of want, if you're going to be doing a dropship market, you want to make sure that the other folks in that market are also dropshipping those products, or at least that there's some people dropshipping those products, because that way you'll be able to compete from a pay-per-click perspective, as you'll have the same margins.
Nice. Okay, now what about the buy local rule?
Well, the buy local rule is absolutely key for e-commerce. Don't sell a commoditized product. Don't sell something that someone can walk down the street and buy. It's why we were able to sell so dang many of those Halloween things, is because you can't find, if you don't live in New York City or if you don't live in San Francisco, you're not going to be able to find one of those, right? If someone lives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, can they find this thing down the street from them? Now, you might think, let's take fire pits as an example. You might think Walmart has fire pits, but does Walmart have the selection of fire pits that you can have on an e-commerce store? No, they've got one fire pit. So just because you can find something locally doesn't mean that it's not a great market online. But if something is readily available, if it's been commoditized, it's a horrible, horrible idea to sell it online, because you're going to have a really hard time competing with those local stores.
Okay, now tell us about the seasonal business trends that you mentioned.
Oh God, I love me some seasonal business, man. You know, every business has its own seasonal aspect to it. I think one of the best examples of a seasonal business is gift baskets, right? Because you get to take advantage of every single season, right? You've got Valentine's Day gift baskets and Thanksgiving gift baskets and Halloween gift baskets and Christmas gift baskets. I really, really, really like seasonal businesses. And one of the cool things about seasonal businesses, I know people who are in e-commerce seasonal markets. Most of the markets that I've played in are seasonal. And what happens is most of your sales come in a 1 to 2 to 3 month period. Like a good, for example, I've got a client right now that sells wooden toys, these wooden, Waldorf education type natural toys. And 50% of her revenue comes over the course of December. And the same thing for me, 50% of my revenue in the Halloween business came in October. But even with a seasonal business, you always end up doing about half your revenue in the off months. But something about this crazy rush, this rabid frenzy that people are in when it's associated with the season, they're willing to buy those Halloween products for their kids. They're willing to buy that gift basket for their friend. It creates a level of enthusiasm for your products, the seasonality around it. And it's really important to make sure that to know what your product's high season is and promote it in that season. And I really, really love the solely seasonal e-commerce markets.
Okay, now what's the favorite tool that you have that shows you the seasonality of different products?
Google Trends, baby. Google Insights. It's really, really simple. You just throw your keyword in there. You have a look at when it gets the highest search volume. That's the one that I use to look for what the seasons are for my markets, and it's pretty right on.
Right. Now, how many SKUs should you have, and what is an SKU?
An SKU is an individual item. How many items should you sell? Well, you should absolutely have more than 70 items if you possibly can. Now, that sounds weird, because here I am with a product in a skincare line that only has 5 items, but that's not a dropship store. That's a store that's built around a brand where we're warehousing that stuff. It's a different business model. When you're dropshipping, you want as many fishnets out there as you can possibly get. And I know folks with 70 item stores that are doing $1 million, $2 million. So 70 is kind of the minimum that you want to give you enough diversity to go out there and have enough products to advertise on, enough products to rank in Google, and give you just enough of a diverse range of products for the consumer of that market.
Love it. And how much should things weigh? You've mentioned something about going for lighter products?
I particularly love the lighter products because it allows you to offer free shipping without much trouble. I think over 10 pounds, you run it, you know, you kind of, you run into that shipping problem where shipping gets real expensive and you kind of got to deal with it. And it's harder to offer free shipping in those markets. And so I like to, if possible, sell items that are quite light because it allows me to offer free shipping and not have to pay a lot for the shipping when I'm doing that. And free shipping is a big one. A lot of people won't buy from you if you don't have free shipping. So sometimes what I recommend people do and test on their store is raise their prices by $5 or $10 and add free shipping and see if that doesn't equal out to more profit in the end. And about 60% of the time, 70% of the time it does.
Nice. Okay. Now tell me about on-site conversion stuff, things like Spokesman or Live Chat. Are you using any of that stuff?
Oh, man. We could go on. I mean, on-site conversion is...
I'm just extracting your brain bit by bit. Are you impressed with my note-taking?
I'm really impressed. It's good, dude. It's awesome. It's my presentation here. I appreciate it, man. I think, well, let's talk about something for all your pages real quick. Your header is huge for your conversion. You want your search bar really big and prominent in your header. If you look at Amazon, if you look at Zappos, you'll see they've got really big, giant search bars. And I actually noticed this before I noticed that they had that. We had a store that had 2% of the people who were visiting that store were searching, and 10% of our revenue was coming from those 2%. So I took that search bar and I put it really big right across the top of the site, and that bumped us up to 5% of the people who were searching, and that turned out to be 23% of our revenue was coming from those people who were searching. It's the good old-fashioned Bob Cialdini commitment and consistency principle. If you can get people to search, they're more likely to buy. And what we're testing now is having a fixed search bar that will scroll with you as you're on the page. Really want to get people to search. So put that search bar nice and big at the top of your page. It'll give you a nice little boost. You want to have guarantee, a contact, a security symbol, an offer of some kind, a discount, a free shipping, your more information buttons, your little floating cart, your live chat, and an opt-in all in your header. Go look at Zappos. They do one of the best examples of an e-commerce store header out there. And you'll notice that each individual thing in their header is in its own little box. It's in its own little spot on the header. It's called the foveal view. And it's because your eye can only focus on one step at a time. If you've got a really crowded header, it's not good. You want space in between the things in your header. Also, for all pages, you want randomly displayed testimonials, if you can possibly have them. You want your best sellers. And you absolutely, absolutely need to have live chat. There's two companies out there. One that I like, that's the easiest one to implement, is olark.com. Olark is fantastic. They go right to your iPhone. They go right to your GChat. They integrate with everything. And you can set up a little away message. But you can do these things where it pops up after a certain amount of page views, a certain amount of time on the site. It pops up a chat invitation. And it'll give you a nice little 8% boost on average in your conversion rate, having live chat. You want incentivized time constraints. There's a company called Exclusive Concepts. That's a fantastic conversion optimization company for e-commerce. They have a little piece of software called the cart or the time to buy. And what that does is you can set it so that after 30 seconds, after 3 page views, whatever, it pops up this little thing that says, hey, check out within 10 minutes and get this percentage off. And you would, and it's crazy how many people are incentivized to buy by that time constraint right then and there. So it's a really, really good thing to have on your site across all pages. Now, do you want? Should we go into home page and section pages and all that stuff?
Why not? I was going to ask you about FAQ videos and, like, if you could only develop a few feature pages on your e-commerce store, where's the quick fruit?
The quick fruit on your e-commerce store is most definitely your frequently asked questions page, your contact us page, and your why buy from us page, and here's why, and your shipping information pages, because those are, everyone who comes to your store looks at those pages. They look at your about us, they look at your contact us, they look at the why buy from us, which is what you should have. And if you can create videos that explain all this different stuff, hey, here's who we are, here's how you can contact us, just by making your contact pages and your about us pages and your shipping information pages richer, you get such a boost in conversion because you're developing a relationship with the customers who come to your store. They're looking you in the eye. And the other thing is you take those videos and you put them in tabs right on your product page. So right on your product page, there's a little tab that answers the question of what are your shipping policies, which everyone wants to know? What's your return policies, which everyone wants to know? What are the frequently asked questions about this product line, which everyone wants to know? They watch those videos. It cuts your customer support in half and it boosts your conversion rate because those videos are useful in other places on your site as well. The richer your site is, the better you're going to do. The more engaging you are with the people who are coming, the more value you're adding to them, the more you're putting your face in front of them, the better your site's going to convert.
Nice. Did you mention the favicon?
Yeah, you should have one of those. I mean, it's not. Look, you're not going to get a huge boost with a favicon, but it's just nice for branding.
And what about chunking?
Oh, chunking. Okay, you absolutely need to chunk on your product descriptions. I think bullets are the key to good product descriptions. You have three little bullets. Now, you want features and benefits, okay? Most people make the mistake of just putting features. Our product has a 32-inch zoom lens, all this stuff. Who cares? What they want to know is what it's going to do for them. Yes, you need the features, but above the features, put the benefits. Man, this camera is going to make you look like a stud to all the whatever. These tires are going to make so that you don't crash and whatever. You know, like whatever the benefit to the end user is, you make those benefits more prominent on the product description, on the product page, you will get a boost in conversion over having features being prominent. And what James means by chunking is don't have these giant lists of content on your section pages, because you're going to have content on your section pages or on your product pages. Have little individual bite-sized consumable pieces of content for people to look at so that they can really get an idea in one glance of what's going on that page.
Nice. All right, Ezra. Look, you've been so generous with this e-commerce stuff. I hope we've given a whole heap of ideas. Firstly, where can people find out more about Ezra and e-commerce?
Well, you can come visit my website, smartmarketer.com, and I will be putting out videos. I'm getting so much positive feedback on this e-commerce stuff on my blog. I'll be putting out e-commerce videos. I'm actually opening up an e-commerce services division where I will be building out platforms and stores for people, managing advertising campaigns, all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in analytics integration or anything like that, you can email me, Ezra@smartmarketer.com, or have a look on my website, Smart Marketer. It should be up in the next week or two.
And you're going to come out to FastWeb Formula 4 Live and talk to us about stuff there?
Yes. I'm going to come to FastWeb Formula Live in Sydney, June 13th and 14th. I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone there. And I will have a whole presentation. I'll go in depth on all this e-commerce stuff. I'll show you screenshots. I'll show you behind the scenes of my business. I will create tutorial videos on how to implement the analytics and goal settings and all the different stuff that I talk about that people want to know, all for you guys at the live event. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me talk about this stuff, and I hope it's been useful and helpful.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, I've asked you questions based off my own notes from watching you speak last time. I've condensed it down into the things that resonated with me. You do quite a few interviews about e-commerce lately. What question should people have been asking you that they didn't think to ask?
One of the things that people aren't really concerned with is, what's the best traffic channel for an e-commerce store? What is your absolute best source of traffic? And I think that that's a really important thing with e-commerce businesses and with any business. It's like the if you build it and they will come strategy does not work. You've got to have a plan for how you're going to get visibility for your products, right? And conversion is the easy part. Creating visibility is much harder than taking that people who are interested in your stuff and getting them to buy that stuff from you, right? So creating visibility is the most important part of any business, in my opinion. Now, of course, you've got conversion and then repeat sales, but I think that by far and away, the absolute best source of traffic for an e-commerce store still to this day is Google AdWords, and specifically Google Merchant Center and the product listings. Product listing ads cost 40% less than any other type of advertising on Google AdWords search network. And the cool thing is if you use my strategy of matching every one of your 70 items in your store to a long tail keyword and optimizing that page for a long tail keyword, like for example, if you have a gift basket that you're selling that has smoked salmon in it, well, the manufacturer might not call it a smoked salmon gift basket, but you can call it a smoked salmon gift basket because a gift basket has smoked salmon in it, and no one else is going to have a smoked salmon gift basket. So when people search smoked salmon gift basket, you're going to show up in those product listings. You're going to show up in the organic result. You're going to show up in the AdWords results. You're running ads there. But most importantly, in the product listings, you can take advantage of these product listings and get clicks for like 3 and 5 cents because no one else has a product that's relevant to that particular query because no one else is matching their products to these long tail keywords.
Nice. All right, Ezra. Well, that is awesome. Thank you so much. I'm just thinking about all the things you said. Anyone interested in e-commerce has probably got a few little bits and pieces to go away and play with. I hope we'll get you back on the show. And will you be able to answer questions below this post on superfastbusiness.com?
Absolutely. Post on Superfast underneath this with any e-commerce questions. I'm happy to answer them. Email me. Like, I really like talking about this stuff. So anything that you'd like to know about e-commerce or anything I can help you with, please feel free to ask me. And have a look out for my course that's coming out in a month or two here, all about this kind of stuff.
What's the course going to be called?
It's going to be called Brown Box Formula. And I'll post about it on my blog, and I'll probably convince you to post about it on Super Fast underneath this, or I'll post here under this post.
All right, thanks, Ezra. It's great to catch up again.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, wasn't Ezra cool? Now, if you like the sound of Ezra and you think you want to find out more about him, you should go and check out our other podcast. Ezra and I do a different podcast called ThinkActGet.com, where we talk about mindset and all sorts of other weird stuff, including how many vegetarian meals you can cram into one sitting, and why you should never fart at dinner. So there you go. we'll catch up with you soon. See you, buddy.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.